You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Good morning or good afternoon. Whatever. Podcasts don't acknowledge time. We're recording into a vacuum. There are no clocks or calendars here. But hey, whatever time and place you're in, I hope it's good. I hope it's what you want. Hello. My name is Eve Sturgis, and if I am being honest, right now it is smack dab in the middle of an afternoon, and I'd say it's just fine. I am the host of this podcast, Everything's Relative, and I'm here to talk about DNA discoveries, a growing phenomenon shaking up people's identities in all sorts of ways as direct-to-consumer tests become more popular. Thought you were related to both your parents? Maybe you're not. Thought you knew who your siblings were? Maybe there's more. Thought you understood your place on this planet? You probably don't. And that's what we're exploring here. Linda is one of those people. She reached out to tell her story, and I'm so glad she did, because as much as she's hoping people will tell her she's not alone, her story will now communicate to my listeners that they are not alone. Great example of people helping people and helping themselves, and it helps me. And I love it. Linda and I talked towards the end about meeting up in Louisville, Kentucky. And if you are listening to this episode when I've posted it, then it's right around the time of the Untangling Our Roots Summit. It is happening in Louisville, March 31st to April 2nd in 2023. So I hope that Linda and I get to meet up. Are you going to be there? Please let me know. Please come say hi. So while you're looking up what it takes to get to Louisville, I'm going to play this tape of me and Linda talking last winter. Thank you so much for listening, folks. This is Everything's Relative, and I'm Eve Sturgis.
Your name is Linda.
Yes.
And where are you located?
Right now I'm located in Evansville, Indiana. I'm originally from Illinois. I lived there for 42 and a half years.
Okay.
I met my now husband, who is the most amazing guy in the world. And we've been together almost 8 years, and he's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh, awesome.
I can't express it enough that, because I've been in so many bad relationships, mm-hmm. and then to find him and find somebody that I always gave 100%, and then having somebody give back 100% is a new thing.
Oh yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. But I moved to Evansville to be with him. Mm-hmm. And it's the best thing I ever did. And
I was gonna say, sounds like it was worth it. So tell me a little bit about what it was like growing up.
I grew up with four sisters. I had three older sisters and a younger sister. There was always this picture of my parents at their wedding picture, and then my three older sisters. For years, it sat in the same place, and I knew that my mom was pregnant with me, but it didn't register with me that why am I in her belly, and why are my three older sisters in this picture?
So they're present, alive as children in your parents' wedding picture. So you weren't doing like math at the time. You weren't doing
when I was 12. I questioned it, and mm-hmm. then I found out that mom had been married before and had three kids, and then she met my dad and had me, or I thought me, mm-hmm. and my sister, Elaine. Mm-hmm. So I had a good childhood. Mm-hmm. My parents took very well, good care. I mean, my dad took on three kids.
I was just about to say, so he just took it on. He just took on as their dad, and they called him dad and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I always felt, and it all makes sense now, but I seriously felt like I didn't belong. Like, I can't explain to you how much I didn't feel like I belonged, especially with my three older sisters. One is 8 years older, one's four, and one's 8, 6, and 2, 4 years. 8, 6, and 4. Mm-hmm.
That's so pretty big. That's a pretty big age spread. Yeah.
And I mean, Tina, the oldest sister, moved out when she was 16. So, I mean, I remember her. I mean, we're obviously, but so the other two were, you know, 4 and 6 years older with me. And then I had my youngest sister, which was 1 year and 7 months from when we were mm-hmm.
different. So it's almost like two different parties. One of the three older sisters and then the two younger sisters.
Yeah, I was really, really close to my youngest sister. When I say I fell out of place, like, it was almost like I didn't exist. Mm-hmm. People didn't even know that they knew of Linda and Elaine, but they thought Linda Elaine was one person. They didn't realize that it was me. I was Linda and that was Elaine. She was really good in sports and just you know, did all kinds of things. And there was me, there was Linda, the shy, you know, hated school. I mean, hated it. I remember thinking, before I knew about DNA and the ancestry and the 23andMe and all that, or even before I knew about the Facebook, but I would think to myself, and I never in my life ever said it out loud, that is dad my biological dad? How am I ever going to know? How, like, am I going to sneak in and get some of his hair from his brush or his toothbrush? You know, just silly things. And
it's not that silly, because why, how would you know? And all you've seen is TV. Like, that's what they get. That's what they do.
Yeah. And so I wrote down the date. It was, I went, my sister Sherry lived in Carbondale, and December 22nd of 2014, I went to her house to visit, and we were sitting at the kitchen table, and she was talking about some of her half siblings from her real dad.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the blue, I have no idea why, I don't even know where it came from, I said, is dad my real dad? And she took a deep breath and said, I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah. Which I'm pissed off about that. Excuse my language. Mm-hmm. But so, I mean, obviously I was upset. The next day I had went home and I called my older sister, my oldest, Tina, and I was like, hey, you know, I she lived in Evansville, and I was like, I need to come and see you, I need to talk to you in person, I need to tell, you know, I don't want to do this over the phone. She's like, oh, you can't do this to me, you know, I want to see you, but what is this about? And I told her, I said, is dad, I asked her, I'm like, is dad my real dad? And she said no. And I mean, I just like lost
it.
I cried. See, I'm not like most of these people where they do a DNA test and then they find out if I didn't even know those even existed at the time. This was 2014.
Yeah, they weren't so widely known popular about yet. Yeah.
And I mean, I was devastated. Mm-hmm. And of course, then she proceeded to call a sister, and that sister called another sister, and then that sister called mom. And mom was really upset. And then she created a group on Facebook called You and Me. And she told me her story.
Hmm.
And the guy that she, the dude was his name, said that she had been with him and found out she was pregnant, that he didn't want anything to do with me. He left. He had broken his back. He was a bull rider.
I was about to say, was he a cowboy?
Yeah, he was a cowboy. He broke his back.
And all right.
He was a lineman. And he had passed away in his mid-30s from a perforated ulcer.
Hmm.
At the time, I felt bad. Like, I didn't want to hurt my mom's feelings or my dad. Because, I mean, like I said, my parents were, they were good parents. But I also didn't fit in. Like, I didn't feel like I fit in. So when she, you know, she gave me all this information, and that's the only time we ever talked about it was on the Facebook group. And
that's that, so interesting that she couldn't quite face it.
Right.
Like in real life, in real time, but could do this Facebook filter experience.
It gets better.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I consider myself a double NPE.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I assume I
you,
am.
Yeah, so, you're a growing population, you doubles.
Okay, I know, tell right?
me. Yeah.
Because you don't hear a lot of them. So I did research and I found my grandmother, and she was in a nursing home. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to go. She's like 90 some years old. What am I going to do? Hey, grandma, it's your granddaughter, Linda. You know, so I decided just to let it go. And a couple years later, I did some research and she had passed away and it listed her grandchildren. So I Facebooked it, like found my brother on Facebook, and I messaged him and he messaged me back and was like, you know, hey, what's up? And I just spilled the beans. Like I gave him, you know, I'm like, you know, my mom was with your dad. He was married at the time. And I told him the whole story, and he basically was like, yeah, well, my dad, that sounds like my dad. He wasn't very faithful to my mom. And he just, and I said, you know, he sent me a few pictures and I studied those pictures and tried mm-hmm. you know, to see the resemblance. And, you know, he talked to me that one day and I said, will you please let the other siblings know about me? And if they want to contact me, they can. And I never heard from him again. Mm. So then on December 30th, so that was whenever I talked to my sister, was 2014. And then I talked to Michael on January 5th, 2016. So then in December 31st of 2020, I had done.
You really focus on this family stuff in Decembers.
Yeah.
December, yeah. January is really
I had done the ancestry and I had done the 23andMe, but there was nothing like, no, I had a lot on my mom's side, but nothing on the dad's side. But then in December 31st, a lady named Lori contacted me. She was doing, her niece by marriage had done a DNA test, and Lori does a lot of family tree building and helps people like us find their family. And she contacted me and said, you know, you're showing up on my niece's family tree and I'm trying to figure out where you fit in.
And you were like, story of my life.
I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and I'm like so excited. I'm like, finally, you know, I'm going to make contact with people that want to get to know me. And I asked her to call me and she did the next day. And once again, I just gave her my whole story, told her everything. And she said, Linda, honey, she's like, I'm looking at the DNA results right now. And the person that you said is your mom says is your father. It's not possible. This, his name is Garley, is your father. So first here we go again. Crash. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what? His mom's telling me it's, you know, this person, and, you know, DNA doesn't lie.
Right. Fine. So confusing.
And well, I had called my sister and she contacted my mom and my mom sent me a message saying, oh, I don't, that it's impossible. She said, the only people I was with was the dude and Mel, who is my father, mm-hmm. who raised me, my birth certificate father. He will always be my dad.
Yeah, I hear you.
Nothing will ever change that. But the fact, I need to back up a minute. I've completely forgot about this. This is dated June 3rd, 1999. I was going through a really bad relationship. I can't believe I forgot about this. And I got this letter and it came to my work. And it says, Linda, you're a grown woman now and you deserve to know the truth. Sit your mother down and ask her for the truth. Melvin Rapp is not your real father. I wanted to tell you for a long time, but I couldn't. Everyone in church knows the truth except for you and maybe your father. Good luck, a friend.
What? Holy.
So this was in 99.
Mackerel. So that happened in 1999.
And I showed my mom. Uh-huh. And I was going through a really, really bad relationship, a breakup. And I showed it to her and she said it was somebody trying to stir trouble. And I just.
Sure.
I just let it go. Like I just didn't think of it. And I put it away and saved it. And
that's interesting. Because It's interesting that you put it away and thought like, oh, okay, someone's just, I've got other things to focus on, right. But you kept it. Like there was still a part of you that knew this was going to be important.
Yeah. Mm. And the thing is I'm finding out now within the last couple months is my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, my sisters, everybody knew.
Mm.
And nobody, which I get it. It's not their story to tell. So I didn't talk to my mom for like 6 or 7 months. And I started kind of feeling guilty because she, you know, she is my mom. And I went and I surprised her and I showed up at her house. And we, the only time we've ever talked in person about it. And it was because when Lori had contacted me, we still stay in contact somewhat. She had found out some information about Garson, which right here I'm getting all mixed up. But she had found out that he had a will, and apparently he had a lot of money, like millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. And he had a will, and they wanted me to try to go after them for money. And I don't want that. I'm not after mm-hmm. their money. That's not me. I don't care. I just want to know about him. But the niece contacted me, and I wasn't allowed to tell the niece that I was in contact with Lori.
Because this gets complicated quickly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I explained to my niece, who's my half niece. I told her her mom would be my half sister. And I told her my whole story, and she contacted her mom and also my half brother, and they want nothing to do with me whatsoever. Won't even give me a chance to tell my story and say, hey, this isn't my fault.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But
sort of reiterates the feeling of not fitting in, right? Like more of that.
That's all I just want to know, like, about him and what he was like. And I mean, I was lied to for 42 and a half years mm-hmm. and then lied to again and then lied to again.
Has your mom ever come clean about any aspects of this guy?
When we met, when I went to her house, that's when I got off sidetracked so easily done by me. But we did briefly talk about it. And she said she started seeing a therapist, and she told the therapist his story, and the therapist told her, hey, this is about her, not you. This is her story. You need to tell her the truth. And that's when she said, yes, I broke up with dude, and I had a one-night stand with this man. And
then got back together with dude, and then broke up with dude.
He didn't get back together. Dude.
Oh, never got back together with dude.
He met Mel, my father, who raised me. And he said, when they met, Mom said in the group Facebook group, she said, mm-hmm. She told Dad that, you know, I got three girls and I'm pregnant. You don't want, you know, I'm a mess. You don't want to be with me. And he's like, if it ever bothers me, I'll tell you. Mm. And so he raised four girls, and then they had Elaine. But Elaine knew, yeah.
Come on, that feels unfair.
Yeah, well, all my sisters knew, everybody knew. My aunts and uncles and cousins, I asked, you know, like, you know, I said, hey, did you know? Yeah, I knew.
Had there ever been any discussion about, or have they told you that there was any discussion about it, about how everybody knew except for you?
No,
or?
I haven't, my sister, I do talk to my sister Tina about it. She's more open about it. My sister Gay wants nothing to do with, like, to her, that Mel is our father and nobody else exists.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry thinks, like, whenever, that was scary because I did the 23andMe and I knew she had done the 23andMe and she didn't show up as my sister. Like, oh my God, you know. And what had happened is she'd set it to private and changed her email, and then she did go through the process to get it turned back on. Because I was like, I called her and I'm like, wait a minute.
Like, hold up. <You're> not, yeah.
You're not my sister. She is, but she's more like, she's, whenever I talk to her about it, she was like, who's this Lori lady and why is she doing this? Why is she was thinking mm-hmm. that Lori was trying to hurt me or get something out of me, like wanting something. And I'm like, I'm not a total idiot. I mean, I'm not going to give her like my social security number or debit card number.
Right.
I mean, Lori has been nothing but great and supportive and tried to help me and is helping other people also to go through this. But during this time in between 2014 and I think I joined the NPE group, but I had seen it on Good Morning America.
So many of us. Yeah.
And there's a lot. Yeah. So that's when I got introduced to the group. And ever since I try to follow most of the groups. I've listened to everybody that I can think of, podcast yours. The day that I messaged you, I'd been wanting to for a long time, and I've never publicly told my story ever. And my dog is having a little snack over here next to me.
He's welcome to. He can. we like dogs on this podcast.
My parents were married June 17th, 1972, and I was born July 18th, 1972. But June 17th, the 50th anniversary, is the day that I contacted you.
Oh.
And I don't know, something just like I said, I have started so many emails to you and just stopped. But something drew me to, and I did it. And then you
emailed me. And right here back, we are.
And you emailed me right back, and it was like, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah, something cosmic about their relationship and your conception, and it was time to tell your story.
Yeah. I've talked to people about it, but never like this publicly. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that your mom wanted to keep all of it such a secret?
One, two things. My dad, because my dad is, he's a very well-liked person, very hard worker, very well-known in the community. And I don't think he wanted anybody to know in that. And I think they were worried about my feelings also. But when mom created that group, she said, be careful what you post on Facebook because of your dad's feelings.
Mm.
So that kind of hurt because I'm like, I don't like hurting people's feelings, especially my dad.
Right.
You know, I've never talked to him about it ever. I want to so bad. I just don't know how. Mm. So bad.
And how old is he now?
He's getting close to 80. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember making like my mom grayed really early. Like she had her first gray hair when she was 16, and my grandpa on my dad's side had coal black hair. And I'm like, ah, I take after my dad because I don't have any gray hair. And everybody's like, you're 50 years old and you don't have gray hair. And I'm like, no. And I remember thinking of different things that I would try to compare
right
to him or to my mom to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out I was 50% Jewish. Had no clue.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
No clue at all. No clue. I'm 50% Ashkenazi.
Wow. Yeah.
He was 100%, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. So double NPE and 50% Ashkenazi.
But it was so hard. Like, I had to go live through it again.
Mm-hmm.
That was a hard, like, and I still haven't told Michael, who I thought was my half brother. I haven't told him that. I don't know how to tell him. I'm sorry. My mom lied to me again.
Right. Really, yeah. You haven't been reaching out with him or right. continuing like a correspondence. Yeah. Well, do you need to? I guess that's the question. I mean, you know, I mean, that's the question I think
yeah.
for all of it is like everybody, it's so complex because you're because there's a part of me that recognizes that our community really focuses on the truth and how everybody needs to know the truth. And so does this man out there need to know that he doesn't have his half sister out there?
And he doesn't care, obviously.
Right.
If you, right. One conversation and haven't spoke in since 2016.
Oh yeah. That's a long time.
But I'm just so like, you know, if Gar didn't want anything to do with me, I would have liked to try. Like I would, mm-hmm. I wish I would have had the opportunity. She had more than one chance.
Do you know who wrote that letter? Do you think you figured it out? Oh, wow. That is somebody, somebody just really felt like they just couldn't stand it. That everybody knew except you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if it also said, I don't know if, honestly, I don't know if my dad knows.
Mm-hmm.
In that group that she created, she said that nobody knew she was pregnant because her weight fluctuated and she hid it very well. I mean, for all I know, she could have, but I don't know. I honestly don't know if it was about her feelings or my dad's feelings or my feelings. I really don't know, because mom has been known to lie for, like, I remember growing up and mom lying about us girls doing things like, Linda's going to go to her sister's. Well, mom told me I could go to town and cruise town, but she told dad I just went to my sister's. Well, somebody ran into the side of the car. She somehow avoided letting dad see the back of the car and then went to work on Monday and said, oh, hey, called dad, said somebody hit me while I was at work. She did things like that.
Huh. Sounds like she's trying to protect a lot of people from a lot of different
feelings,
right?
Why did she tell other people? Why did people in the church know? Why did
everybody know?
Why did all my nieces and nephews and cousins and aunts and uncles, why did they all know if it was such a secret?
Did your sisters, I mean, have you asked them? I guess this would be a question I could ask them, but have you asked them, do they remember, were they instructed not to tell you? Do you remember if they know that, like, oh, this is a secret that we're going to all agree upon?
No, I don't. Tina was that one of my aunts told her when she was probably, I think she said she was 14 or 15.
Oh, meddling aunt. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested in all parts of your story, but I really am interested in this idea of you as a little girl feeling like you don't fit in anywhere. And I know that we talk about this, like we all talk about this, not fitting in. And it turns out you were right. And that's it.
You hear that so much.
Right. You hear it. Right. And it's an intuition thing, but still there's something about the way you say it for some reason today that, like, I'm hearing the sort of, or like feeling the gravity of how mysterious it is that you felt something, you suspected something. And not only was it true, but all your sisters were holding this secret. So it was true. And then for you to say, I don't know why, but this just blurted out of me, is dad my dad?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Like, why would you say that?
And why did she say, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
And something I'm going to ask her, but I don't want confrontation. I don't want to bring it up. And because I need to get over, I'm 50 years old, for God's sake. I mean, I'm better than I was, but I just don't want to hurt people's feelings. And
well, neither did, and, I mean, that's, that sounds like that's kind of your family's pattern. One of the pattern is to not hurt people's feelings. So nobody tell any, you know, nobody tell anybody to their face what the truth, you know, everybody protect everybody, like everybody, you know. Don't hurt Mel's feelings. Don't hurt Linda's reputation. Keep everything.
I wasn't the greatest. It's embarrassing. I wasn't the greatest in school. I finally did connect with a tutor that helped me get as far as I did. But my sister, like I said, was really good in sports and she played volleyball, and the school they went to, another school recruited her to go to the school to play volleyball because they thought she would have a better chance. my mom and dad got a legal separation. My mom moved to a different town, got a new job. And it came to me, I had completed my junior year and was about to start my senior year, came to me and asked me if I wanted to quit school so Elaine could go to this other school.
Oh, because if you could quit school.
Well, I mean, I'm here. I am 18 years old, about to start my senior year. I hate school.
Right.
Yeah. And what are you going to say? I mean, yeah. I mean, I went to my GED and went to college later, but I mean, that's how my, like, it was always about Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
I hate saying that because Elaine passed away. In 2007. I mean, and we were so close. I mean, she was so good.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine, but it just hurts because we were so, so dang close. I mean, we were a year and 7 months apart and we grew up together. We did everything together. But yet here's Elaine and here's Linda, you know, she's up here and I'm down here, but she was always very protective of me.
Hmm. Did you ever see A League of Their Own?
Yes.
There's that part in the beginning where the two sisters are walking and she says, like, I hate meeting people because mom and dad always say, this is our daughter, Dottie. And this is our other daughter, Dottie's sister. That's immediately what I thought.
That would
of.
Be me, but I'm the older one.
Right. Right. Dottie's older in that movie. But yeah, it's hard when I to be in someone's shadow like that. And then to put all these pieces together over time, it's got to be, even if it's not painful, it's got to be sort of uncomfortable and strange to navigate your identity that way for so long.
My sister Tina did tell me, like, not too long ago, because I she said that I just needed to basically call mom and forgive her and get it over with. Because I'm back to not talking to her because all of a sudden it's like everything's like, I mean, think it. More time goes on, the more things make sense.
Mm.
And I love my mom. I mean, she's been a great mom. And other than this, and I'm just not ready to forgive her. And I know I need to because she's elderly, but I just can't. Not right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's just too much anger of too many whys.
Right. Yeah. Once all the pieces start falling together.
It's weird how it happened though, because when I first found out, I felt like it was almost like I felt guilty that I stirred up and I felt bad for my parents and I didn't want them to be upset.
Which is what?
And I still don't.
Which is kind of like their intention in the first place. Like this, right? Was like, we don't want to upset anybody, so don't tell anybody. And then you find out and it's like, you don't want to upset anybody.
Well, she did tell me that she was in that group message. She was never going to tell me. She had not ever planned on telling me.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you think that they recognized or were seeing how out of place you felt and ever thought about that or thought?
I don't know. I know that my mom, you know, knows that I'm still upset about it, but I don't know that she, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not ready to talk to her.
I hear you. I really admire the people that are able to have those really uncomfortable conversations or get through. It's hard. I mean, there's tons of things I haven't talked to my mom about. Tons. And part of it is because it's so hard and it's so frustrating and I'll cry so hard and then she gets upset. And to what end? I'm just not sure to what end always.
The missing pieces, the podcast missing pieces.
Mm-hmm. With Don.
Don, yeah. That one podcast that he did where the phone call to the mother, where he recorded his conversation with his mother. I was like, oh my God, that's exactly what I want to say to my mom. And I actually sent it to my sister and said, hey, this is what I want to say. And she told me, no, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, well, I didn't have the I didn't have the, you know, some of the earlier trauma that he had, but what he said to his mom is exactly how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was an amazing podcast.
Yeah. His podcast is so great. If anybody has it.
Where am I?
We're very different. We're just different podcasts. So if anybody hasn't listened to Don Anderson's, it's called Missing Pieces, NPE Life. And he does a great podcast. And what's cool is to hear about people hearing a podcast, whether it's mine or somebody else's, and you saying, oh, I relate to that. I'm going to send this to my sister and see if this is a way I can communicate. Like you're just kind of trying something else. Like she doesn't understand me, but maybe this will work. And I think I can't speak for Dom, or any of the podcasters, but I think that's a lot of what we're trying to do is give people tools and resources.
Yeah.
In different mediums to try and communicate this experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've listened to Lily and you, and I mean, all about Dani Shapiro. I've read her book.
Mm-hmm.
I love reading. I try to find books geared toward NPEs or something, you know, movies, shows, anything. Because it makes you feel like, it makes you feel better in a way. Mm-hmm. Sad, but better.
You're right. Right. Kind of, sometimes I think like it's so in some books and like, well, in soap opera type books or melodramatic books or story, you know, when I say books, I also mean TV or movies or British mysteries. Like there's so much NPE stuff that it's almost surprising that we're all so surprised. And yet it's still being a part of a secret club, like, okay, or a subculture. I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say, just that it's sort of like, they don't get it because they put it so casually into everything, but then maybe they do get it and it's everywhere. It's sort of both. Maybe it's both. And
I don't think that they knew that this, like that everything was going to change.
No.
So much back. I mean, yeah. We didn't know we were going to have DNA tests, commercial DNA testing.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think about that with my parents a lot when they made their decisions. Lots of things, but one, they were really young. Two, there was no Facebook. There wasn't, not only was there no Facebook, there was no internet. There was not even an internet. And 3,000 miles. They moved away 3,000 miles and just, you know, never said anything to anybody. And they were so confident they would never be contacted because 3,000 miles was so far away that our names and addresses were in the phone book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that man could have found us and did. I mean, it's a complicated story, but like at any point, but they were like, it's 3,000 miles. Just didn't.
I know that's what they thought.
You can't fathom something. I'm not trying to make excuses for anybody and say that a lie is always better if you're not going to get caught or something. I know it's more complex than that, but sometimes the decisions that people are making feel like the easiest ones to make.
It's really hard going to family gatherings, especially outside. All I can do is sit there and think, do you know?
Right.
Or do I don't feel like I belong. Even I know I grew up with these people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard. I can't explain it. I just don't feel like I belong because I'm not DNA related to them.
I think of any audience that's going to understand that more than any other, this one is. You don't have to explain what it is to not belong.
Yeah.
But that's a long, but you've lived a long life of that kind of ache. It's a long time to have that feeling. And
I
then
can't express that enough. Mm-hmm. How I did not feel like I belonged. And then for it all just to be like, you know, to find out why that. I mean, everything makes so much sense.
You found out why, but I might also argue that there's very little closure in your story because you can't connect with the other family at all.
I haven't tried that hard, but I don't know. I don't know how, I guess maybe, or the right things to say, or I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to bring up old.
That's what you do. The theme of this family system is don't upset anybody.
Yeah. And it is. I mean, it's always don't tell dad.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell dad.
Right. So how long is it? How long has the second confirmation been for you since you figured out the real it was not dude?
Right. December 31st, 2020. So January 1st of 2021.
Okay.
Is when Lori contacted me. And I guess when I talk about Lori, her niece by marriage, there's some family issues there.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Like the mom doesn't like Lori and my half sister is mad at Jamie for taking the DNA test.
Oh, Jamie.
Jamie's my half niece.
Exposing all these secrets or complicating things and getting Lori involved.
Yeah. So, and then Jamie contacted her mom and her uncle and immediately shut it down. How? I don't understand how people can just, I mean, not, you're my sister and brother, for God's sake. I mean, I was so excited. I was like, finally, I'm going to get to know some people on my side of the, you know, on this side of the family. And then Jamie spoke to me a few times. And then, I mean, we are friends on Facebook, but we don't, there's not, you know, like, we don't talk every day.
I'm finding, unless you have, I get it's different for everybody. So I don't want to say what it's like unless, but for me, it's been very difficult to create form a strong foundation when there's so much mystery and so much blank space and so much, so many questions. If I could get together with my siblings, there might be more time and space to talk about all that, but over Facebook and messages,
mm-hmm.
It's very hard to know how to navigate all the uncomfortable stuff as well as the getting to know each other stuff.
Like, I'm one of the most kindest people. I will do anything for anybody. And I just don't understand how somebody can just mm-hmm. be like, I get it. Your dad cheated on your mom, but it's not my fault.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. And I sometimes think that they're, the only way that they could do that is because they have to, and their mind literally thinks they'll die if they cross into this reality. They'll die, and so denial is the only way. And that's how I understand it sometimes, that's how I try to understand denial, that it's a survival tactic.
Yeah,
but that doesn't make it hurt less on your end necessarily. Yeah. Right.
I have good days and bad. I have days where I can't stop thinking about it. And I get mad. There's days where I get so mad. I'm just like, why couldn't anybody tell me? And then there's days mm-hmm. where I'm crying, but there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about it. It's the sad part. It's like, really?
Yeah, me too. I don't think there's a day I don't think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And someone asked the other day if you ever heal, and someone was like, no, you never heal. I mean, that's a loose summary of the conversation. And I was like, I don't know. I think it depends on your definition. I think about it every day, but it might hurt less.
Yeah.
Some days and the good days, there are more good days than bad days now. And
yeah, definitely. I had pot. My husband, a DNA test, and he refused to take it. He said he was afraid what happened to me would happen to me.
Yeah, I have all my friends say that. They're like, oh no. Yeah. We're not going there.
But my daughter wanted it, so I gave it to her, and so she took it.
Oh good.
And her dad is her dad. So
okay. Yeah. Her my mother in law just took it. She just mailed one in. And when I saw it on her kitchen table, and I was like, what are you doing? I don't know if you want to do that.
Open a can of worms.
Playing with fire.
Not, what is her name? Laura? No. Oh, I'm going to have to look it up. She was, we talked once on the phone, but she's the closest person I'm not going to be able to find her name. I went blank. But she lives in Kentucky, but also spends a lot of time in Florida. We've talked, but she's the only person that I've never met anybody in person that I can relate to, which is also hard because I try to explain to Josh how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, he's agreeable with me and he understands, but he doesn't, he's like, it's not happened to me, so I can't,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. 100% relate.
Where you're in Indiana?
Yeah.
Sounds like we need to like get you into those retreats. We need to get you to the retreats or.
Most of them are too far away.
Yeah. We need to loop you into the meetups and stuff.
There was supposed to be one in, was it Louisville, Kentucky? I think.
There's one next March in Louisville. There's a big.
Okay. Yeah.
Convention in Louisville.
To be like in, yeah, I was planning. I'm hoping to go to that one.
Okay,
because that's only a couple hours away.
Oh, all right. I'll go look on a map. But have you done any of the Zoom groups? Are you able to connect with? Because there's a lot on that are in like Central and East Coast time.
The one. What was that? That was going to be till like because I'm on Central time.
Yeah,
it was like 9 o'clock at night, and I get up at 4 a.m.
Oh no!
Yeah.
That will not work.
I have joined one, and then the one with the Primal Fear, the Reckoning of the Primal Fear. I paid for that so I could be
good. Yeah. They're such a great community. Togetherness Heals, that group, and they run the Higher Earth Hope and Healing retreats. Like I would really recommend trying to.
I really want to go to one. Every time one pops up, I'm like checking it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because I work in retail, it's hard to during especially the holidays and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, you can't get off.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we can all manifest it for you.
Yeah, help you manifest. We can make it happen. I wear your little pin every day to work.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I was the first one to order from you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I wear it
every day to work. So.
Oh, good.
You're always with me. No.
Oh, well, maybe. Yeah. Well, yeah. Hey, if that helps.
When I talk about it, I'm like, hey, you know, they're like, what does that pin mean? I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a podcast and there's a whole bunch of different people. And I tell them about all the different people that do the podcast. And they're just like, okay.
They're like, wow, she's really enthusiastic about that. Well, that's great. That means a lot to me. Well, thank you so much, Linda, for giving me some time in your afternoon on a Friday. I really want to like bring you into, I really hope you can connect with the people at Reckoning with the Primal Wound. And cause I really hear that need for connection. In real life, you know, just talking to people, it can be so powerful.
I had gone to a counselor, a therapist, and took me 2 months to get in because of COVID. And, you know, I went and seen her and, you know, I kind of, you know, we talked a little bit and she started telling me that I needed to pray and go to church and carry. And I was just like,
as soon as if you're the tone where you said, I went to go see a counselor, I was like, oh no, where's this story going?
And then it was going to take, she wanted to see me again. And it was going to be another 2 months. And I'm like, I am not going to somebody that's going to tell me that I need to talk to God. And you know, I'm not going to go into that, but the nearest therapist for my type of stuff is like in Louisville or Indianapolis, Indiana, which is several hours away. And it's like,
right.
There's not a lot of that in this area.
Hmm. Okay. I'm gonna keep my eyes and ears open and try and think of some ideas. But in the meantime, get on those groups on Facebook for sure. Any kind of live Zoom gatherings that, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's not the same as in person, but it's better than nothing.
Better than nothing. It's nice to hear other people's stories. I really enjoy it. I do. You're not alone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so glad. Well, I'm so glad you told your story, and especially this subgroup of double MPEs. You all got to get together and get your own podcast going.
Yeah. I just wish I would have known sooner.
Mm-hmm. Right. Something to keep in mind if you're out there knowing the truth.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I'll be in touch.
All right.
Have a great weekend. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Thank you, Linda, again, for showing up for yourself and for this community by sharing your feelings about this very alarming experience that you had twice, not once, but twice. I know I'm not the only person who is grateful you decided to do that. Have I talked to y'all about Ancestry Brewing yet? Well, please give me a minute to do so. Back in 2022, just last year, my Aunt Jenny, who lives in Oregon, sent me a photo that she had taken of a cooler full of Ancestry Brewing beer bottles. Just for fun. She just sent it to me for fun. But I sent Ancestry Brewing an email along the lines of like, hey, I do a podcast and it's all about Ancestry and you have a beer called Ancestry. We should collaborate. And the guys at Ancestry Brewing were like, yeah, totally. And they sent me a big box of beer. It's delicious. It's crafted in small batches. They have all sorts of brews and they are called Ancestry Brewing. I mean, come on. It's so perfect for us. We're its people. It's our beer. It's perfect. So check them out. They're at ancestrybrewing.com. And if you're a listener who happens to live in the Pacific Northwest, go find yourself some. Okay. If you're listening to this podcast and want me to know anything about the way you're feeling or thinking, would you shoot me a message? My email is eve@everythingsrelativepodcast.com. I'm on all the socials at Everything's Relative Podcast. And you can find me online at everythingsrelativepodcast.com. So head over there to find all the ways you can support this project if you want it to continue. If you don't want it to continue, well, don't go over there to support me. I'm glad you're here, regardless, and I hope you listen to another episode, if not all the episodes. I'll post something else really soon, and in the meantime, I hope you're taking care of yourself, staying warm if it's cold, and cool if it's hot, and don't forget to always fasten your seatbelt. I'm Eve Sturgis. This is Everything's Relative. Bye-bye.
Everything's Relative with Eve Sturgis is produced by Eve Sturgis and Kaylin Egan and edited by Joy Rumel. Logo designed by Ivy McNally and music is used with permission from Goodbye the Band. Eve is a licensed psychotherapist, but her podcast episodes are not therapy sessions.